The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And the people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was reflecting on the readings today, I was reminded of the expression, preaching to the choir. And it felt like, it seems like, the readings today is exactly doing that, you know, preaching to the choir. Now, we don't mean Andrew's choir, but you know what I mean, huh? You know, the people of God. Those of you, those of us who are trying to live out the gospel according to our understanding, striving for holiness, sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully, but we keep coming back. You know, this is the faithful of God, the beloved of the Lord. And today, this readings is being proclaimed especially to you, to all of us who are striving for that same holiness. You see, in the first reading today, we hear of Isaiah speaking of these wonderful things, this wonderful prophecy. Certainly, Isaiah during that time was speaking to the people in exile. And so those words are meant to give them hope. He's speaking of the desert blossoming, speaking of the desert with springs gushing forth, which means that yet they will be going home, and the desert will welcome them and will lead them back home. And so it's a sense of hope. But at the same time, it's also a prophecy of the coming kingdom of God, which Jesus Christ will initiate. And that kingdom of God, we know, one of the many meanings of that would be the church. It's the coming church, the church which the Lord has established and continues to journey until the end of time, until we end our journey back in heaven, back in the arms of God. And so now, from there, the gospel picks up on that same theme of the kingdom of God and the people that dwell there. All of you, all of us, the faithful of that kingdom. And it's good to be reminded exactly of our vocation, who we are, what we are made of, what we are called to do, what is the nature of our calling. And Mark outlines for us and gives us a contour of what it is to be a member of the kingdom of God, a member of the body of Christ. And so here, Mark begins with the story of Jesus leaving for the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. Now, that detail is very, very significant, because here Jesus is going beyond the boundaries of the Jewish nation. See, going to the district of Tyre, into the district of the Decapolis, well, that's the territory of the Gentiles, the pagans, in a wonder of wonders. Jesus is crossing boundaries now, which is, to the original readers of this gospel, they might be a little bit discombobulated, because the Jewish nation, the elect people of God, understands that salvation is for the Jews. Yes, they do expect the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one of God, but that anointed one of God, the Messiah, is coming to save only the Jews. That's their understanding. And yet here is Jesus signaling a change, a switch of paradigm, that the kingdom of God will be open to the pagans. Jesus himself walking into those unvisited lands to proclaim there the joy of the gospel. Here in Jesus going out, he's saying that the kingdom of God, the church, is universal. Do you know what universal in Greek is? Katholikos. The kingdom of God is universal. The kingdom of God is Catholic. And so that's the whole point there. And now when he was there, of course, you know, the people of God brought to him, according to Mark, brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. You see, this man he called out. You know, that's another translation. Jesus called this man out, away from the crowd. Once again, you know, that the action of calling out away from the crowd into his own company, into his private company, you know, that's also significant. Once again, it's speaking of the church because to call out is ekkalein in Greek. This is ekkalein. Kalein is to call, and ek is outside. To call out of. So ekkalein is to call out of. Ekkalein, ekkalein. That's how we get the word ekklesia in Greek. Ekklesia in Spanish. Chiesa in Italian. Ekkalein. And so here, the man is called out from the crowd. They say, why is it significant to call this man out of the crowd? Well, out there in the crowd, there are many, many voices. As you all very well know, out there in the crowd, there are many, many voices, and you know, there's voices that tell you, this is how you live your life. This is where you will find meaning. This is where you will find fullness. Here, live the life of pleasure. Live a life of sensuousness. Live a life of popularity and honor and wealth, and this is where you will find meaning and fullness of life. You know, that's the crowd. And so Jesus had to call out this man from the crowd into himself so that this man could focus on the word of God and to be filled with the very life of Christ. Now, isn't that something very, very familiar to us? We are being called into the company and fellowship of the Lord so that we can hear the voice of God. We know this. We all have lived this. That's why we are all here, because we are tired of the voices of the world telling us what to do. We want to hear the unrestrained song of the Lord to tell us exactly where we're going, what we're headed, and what is this all about. And so here you are. Here you are, my friends, in company and in fellowship with the Lord, called out from the voices of the crowd. Now, Jesus had done many, many healing in his ministry. As a matter of fact, St. John, the evangelist, would say, if I were to write all of the things that Jesus had done, one book is not enough. It will take many, many volumes to contain all of the things that he did. And yet, Mark singled out, you know, chose this one healing of the man, of a deaf man who has a speech impediment. Now, why is that important? Why did Mark choose, of all of the many ailments with which the Lord had healed, chose the one who cannot hear? Well, because it is significant for the people of God to hear. Hearing is significant for the people of God because the Lord always speaks to his people. And we hear that. We hear that in the Old Testament when all the Jews, every single day, even our Jewish friends and brothers and sisters today, every morning they will recite the prayer of the Jewish people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. To him alone belongs your strength and all your mind and everything about you. The Shema. Hear, O Israel. That's why it is important. In the Old Testament, God spoke and brought salvation to his people through the revelation of his word and by the hearing of the prophets. Abraham heard the word of God, and that word led him into the desert to found the Jewish nation. In hearing the word of God, the Jewish nation was born. Moses heard the word of God in the burning bush, and after hearing the word of God, he was strengthened and was commanded to go up into Egypt to save his people from slavery. So hearing is very, very important in the experience of the people of God, as it is today. Right now, you are all sitting there and hearing the word of God being proclaimed to you. So hearing is important, and so that is why he chose this particular healing. And so he called the deaf man out of the crowd and began to lay his hand on him. Now just watch the motion of this healing. He laid out his hand. He spat and put the spit on the man's mouth, and then he uttered these words, you know, the groaning, you know, and began to speak Ephphatha. What does that remind you? That resonates well with our understanding of the sacraments. God's healing, the promise of healing that Isaiah prophesied in the first reading today, is fulfilled in the sacraments that we receive, that we celebrate. The sacraments make use of humble elements of the earth. You know, you have bread, you have wine, you have water, you have oil, you have touch. And then, of course, the formula of the sacrament. You know, all of those sacred signs are accompanied by an utterance of the priest, the formula that is being said. And so with the sign and the formula, you have the sacrament, and it affects healing, because sacraments affect what they signify. And so that is being prefigured here. Now, the man who was healed by the Lord, certainly he got his healing, and now he could not help but to go out and to proclaim what the Lord has done for him. That is once again significant, my friends, because it is not enough that the choir comes in fellowship with the Lord to ask for blessing, and the Lord in his goodness showers us with his blessing. That is not enough. Our faith, our being members of the body of Christ, our being members of the church, does not end with my own personal relationship with the Lord. Me and Jesus, I receive all of the blessings for myself and for my family, just for me. No. That is not how it is to be church. That is not how to be a member of the body of Christ. Very much like what happened here in the gospel. After receiving the gift, now the man goes out to proclaim the good things that the Lord has done to him. Gifts that are given to us are not meant to be for ourselves alone. Do not forget that. Every gift that you have received, and absolutely all of us here, have been given by the Lord gifts. You know, wonderful gifts. They are not yours to enjoy alone. We are meant to go out, just like this man, just like his company, to go out and to share the word of God. Perhaps not in the manner that I do here in the pulpit. You know, well, perhaps some of the men here are called to do exactly what I'm doing. Maybe some of the men here are called to become priests and proclaim the gospel from the clerical state. But all of us are called to do the same, because like I said, we had been given a gift, and a gift should not be enjoyed only by oneself. A gift is meant to be shared, just like what this man did. And so go out there and preach the gospel. Well, how may one preach the gospel? We begin by the way we live the gospel in our own lives. When we do our work wholeheartedly, knowing It's been stamped by the very Spirit of God. People will notice. You know, when we exercise our gifts to bless others, people will be reminded that there is a God after all who knows how to care and who is tender and knows the needs of His people. That's what we do. That's how we share our gifts. That's how we proclaim the Word of God. Like I said, the gifts, like the Word of God, like the sacrament, is for us to be blessed, but at the same time, to share with the rest of the world. May our celebration today, our celebration of Word and Sacrament, fill us with many, many blessings, and never forgetting that gifts are meant to be shared, and that the gifts of this sacrifice of the Mass is meant for us to go out into the world and preach the gospel.